Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 2 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Good weekend, everyone. Welcome back to the Oddity News. My name is Dave Wirtz, and with me today is my co-anchor, Blake Bemichigan.
Yes,
we are here.
AKA Sluts Benwalla.
Yeah. We're here to bring you the news and stories of the week that maybe you didn't hear, all of which are completely insane and ridiculous. I know we've all kind of dealt with a lot over the past couple of weeks, especially listening to stories of political unrest. Well, guess what? We are here to bring the exact opposite, unrest in a non-political fashion. So I'm super happy, super excited to share this with PC Tunney. And I think we should get right into the news.
Amen.
Tony, so first thing I have, Nebraska Regent suggests putting fans' ashes under the football field. Yeah, a University of Nebraska Regent has... Hello. I don't know what the fuck happened there. Okay, sorry. The University of Nebraska Regent has proposed a way for lifelong Cornhuskers fans to carry their support into the afterlife. When Memorial Stadium undergoes its next renovation, Regent Barbara Weitz of Omaha suggested a building a columbarium under the football field where departed fans can have their ashes inurned. The idea might be dead on arrival. Her fellow regents laughed at the proposal at a recent meeting. Weitz acknowledged she made her pitch lighthearted, but didn't think any proposal should be dismissed out of hand, with the university facing a $58 million budget shortfall. The price for niches where cremation urns are stored could vary depending on location, with a spot under the 50-yard line or end zone sold at a premium. And she does say that the revenue would go to academics. Tony, what do you think? You want to take your ashes and store it underneath a garbage football team stadium?
I mean, it would give whole new meaning when you score a touchdown to dancing on someone's grave, apparently. I really though wonder if people really know what they get when they're getting ashes. Like, do you think at the crematory, the guys who are, you know, in by the furnace, do you think they're cleaning that thing out 100% before the next body goes in? Like, I feel like you're getting a little bit of old Hank and a little bit of Uncle Edward, and then maybe somebody's Aunt Mildred too. You know, you might not just be getting one person's ashes there.
No, but at the same point, like, why do we need the whole urn? If it's just ashes, you know, I mean, how many times have you seen that? There's been plenty of places that have just scattered ashes over the stadium, right? Why couldn't you just sort of throw it onto the field? And then eventually when you water it, it just kind of washes away.
Most famous, hilarious ashes spreading ceremony from the Big Lebowski, I think.
Just as it gets tossed right back into the dude's face. It's always a classic. always a classic. And I'm not going to lie. I understand college football is a different animal, right? The Cornhuskers haven't been good in forever. Do people really care that much now to still be like, yeah, I'm going to go scatter my ashes where Taylor Martinez used to be decent?
I think they'd be more in love with the women's volleyball team currently than the men's football team.
Yeah, you know what? Put that into the volleyball itself.
Oh, God.
Yeah, be used to win a game, man. What's next? Because eventually that's going to fill up. You can't just build down.
You could take people's, like, tendons from their body and make a volleyball net out of it.
I'm thinking, like, you take the urns and you put it on top of, like, the bordered of the stadium.
Ugh.
And just, like, wrap it around. You know, and now, or you know what? Do that shit in LSU, and then it'll bring a new meaning to Death Valley.
There, all right, you hit it. I think you hit the winner right there. That was it. Take it down to LSU and make it Death Valley. There you go. Should we move on to our next story, sir?
Let's go.
All right, I'm going to take a twist on Florida Man here. And he's still involved, but New Jersey man flies to Florida to attack another online gaming player over a dispute, deputies say. Fernandina Beach, Florida, the AP reports, an online gaming dispute made its way to the real world when a New Jersey man flew to Florida to attack another player with a hammer. Edward Kang is charged with attempted second-degree murder and an armed burglary with a mask. The 20-year-old, according to Nassau County court records, was arrested early Sunday morning. Bill Leeper, Nassau County Sheriff, said, "I just want to let you know this is a weird one. Some things you just can't make up." How many times in life, though, do you hear something that someone tells you a story about real life stuff and you're like, yeah, if I watched that as a movie, I'd be like, bullshit. But it's actual real fucking life.
Well, especially, too, I don't know how much you read of that story. It's all over a defunct video game.
do you know how to pronounce that? Is it Arc-Age or is it Arch-Age?
I think it's Arc-Age.
Okay.
Arc-Age, okay. I believe.
A-R-C-H-E.
But, I mean, this is like, it's like fucking RuneScape. And they just decided to be like, no, this is bullshit. How dare you talk to me mean?
So it actually, as we record, it was taken offline this past Thursday, Dave.
R.I.P., right?
Maybe we could bury it underneath the Nebraska football field.
We were right there. We take the fucking servers and bury it right underneath that.
We could play the clip from Office Space 2 where they're beating the shit out of the printer in the field.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster. Yep. I wholeheartedly don't understand anything about that.
Kang flew from Newark, New Jersey to Jacksonville, Florida last Thursday after telling his mother that he was going to visit a friend that he had met while playing a video game, officials said. Officials didn't say how Kang learned where the victim lives. Upon arrival, Kang took an Uber to a hotel about 35 miles north of Jacksonville and then bought a hammer at a local hardware store. Kang went to the victim's home, which was unlocked around 2 a.m. The victim was walking out of his bedroom when he was confronted by Kang, who hit him on the head with the hammer. The two struggled as the victim called for help. His stepfather responded and helped restrain Kang until police arrived. The victim was okay. Was okay. He didn't have life-altering...
Non-life-threatening injuries after getting bashed in the head with a hammer. Clearly that guy hasn't been playing too many like rigid video games if he doesn't have enough wrist strength to hit someone on the head properly.
Can I tell you my favorite quote of the story? Kang told authorities that the victim was a bad person online.
There it is. I don't know, man. Maybe I'm out of touch. Maybe I've become too old. Because, I mean, the guy's got 10 years. I got 10 years on this individual. But I'm not getting mad
over anything video game related. And especially, like, it's pretty safe to say that this guy hacked some information to get his address and all that, too.
Exactly.
There's intent. Well, whatever.
Yeah, and not smart.
That's how it goes sometimes, I guess.
Not smart enough to bring a hammer with him, or, you know, leaving trace records all over the place, buying a hammer at a store down the street.
I'm sure some new information will come to light in the coming weeks and months that will hopefully clarify things.
We'll have to have a follow-up segment from in the future when we hear of anything that happens with some of these crazy stories.
All right. Next story. A Canadian man has become the first candidate in the nation's history to receive zero votes in a contested federal election. Felix Antoine Hamel was one of 84 candidates to run in a Toronto by-election after he and 76 others were approached by Election Reform Group Longest Ballot Committee, which packed the race with candidates to successfully create the longest ballot in Canadian history. Hamel was the only candidate in the race, though, to receive zero votes. He said he didn't even vote for himself because he is not a Toronto resident and therefore not eligible to cast a ballot. Quote, when I saw the result, I was like, well, I am truly unity candidate. Oh, I'm the true unity candidate. Everyone agrees not to vote for me, he told CBC News. The Library of Parliament database confirmed that Hamel was the first candidate ever to fail to receive a single vote in a contested election. Other candidates have run in uncontested races and won without a single vote. That's truly sad. I'm glad he's trying to be lighthearted about the situation, but woof.
Alternate headline reads, man's self-esteem drops to all-time low.
He also quoted and said, I am one of the last people that would be expected to make Canadian history in any way.
He didn't even believe in himself.
His expectations were rather low for everything, it sounds like.
It's rather Canadian in a weird dichotomy of like expectations, because, you know, they're supposed to be polite and generous and say thank you and please, and he's almost like so polite that he doesn't even dare wish himself any success over someone else.
All this story needs is an oops, sorry.
And,
like, just built right in.
What do you think this guy's favorite board game is?
It's either that or it's trouble.
Staying out of trouble.
But he's probably lost every game of life he has ever played.
There you go. I like that one better. All right, I got one more for you.
All right.
This is from ESPN. This was brought to my attention by Brother Joe. So I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to give you the gist of it. If you want to go to ESPN.com, it's a pretty cool story by Ryan Hockensmith. It's a little less of the silly and a little more of the holy shit. So Emma Carey was on a trip in Europe with her friend from Australia, Gemma. So, yes, just right away, let's get it out of the way. We got Emma and Gemma from Australia, okay? And they're out, and they're like 20 years old on their college trip or whatever, and they're going skydiving. And long story short, Emma falls from 14,000 feet with her instructor straddled to her, who's knocked out, and survives. Like, she's paralyzed from the waist down. Did you read this one?
I did not.
I take it the instructor died, because they didn't really get to that part of it. But it's a really interesting read on the story. The fact that she's alive and she is actually even able to walk with like mechanical kind of legs and things of that nature. Everything from the waist up, she was completely fine. So what happened was, is her instructor didn't have his altimeter, I think it's called, or it was misreading. Mm-hmm. So he was not able to tell exactly when the emergency chute would pull. Because if you pull the regular chute and the emergency, while the emergency chute's going off, and that's what happened
they
in this
offset
case,
each other.
Well, they get tangled. So these just two big wadded up parachutes, not taking any air, were just flailing around attached to these two. It doesn't say how she landed, like if she landed on top of him and that's why she was, or what happened like that. But she just, the two things she said, that the last two things she thought of when she realized that she was going really fast, not slowing down, and there was the ground, was she didn't want to die. And fair. If she did, she just hoped somebody other than her friend would find her. So her friend landed successfully, tore off their stuff. Because they went out the other side of the plane, the helicopter, they had a little different trajectory. She ended up catching up and finding them like 10 minutes later. She was conscious the whole time, like talking to her friend as she walked up and wanted to have help getting up because she thought she wasn't sure why her legs weren't working well. I mean, I think of a pretty obvious reason, but yeah, it's just crazy story to hear that they say, well, gravity is undefeated still. Maybe this, she won one small battle here.
I can only, what I just imagine it is like they're doing the Austin Powers thing where like where he gets like goes crashing out of the like the window at the disco club and he ends up just turning the woman like you'll never survive Powers like and just I mean that has to be it, right? She probably that god that's got to be insane to take all of that together and survive. Holy shit.
I think she was using dryer sheets when she did her laundry that she was wearing. I think it was Bounce. Just,
good God.
I mean, it did take all the help you can get.
Oh. Okay, well, let's cut to our first segment here. We've got our movie review, in which I have found a wonderful review for a recent film. Tunney, have you seen Inside Out 2 yet?
No, I have not. I heard it made a ton of money already. The first one was excellent. We did cover the preview on Bandwagon Nerds. Have you seen it?
I have not. The plan is to see it sometime this week with my daughter. So I think it'll be happening probably Tuesday. Try to get the cheap rate.
That's Amy Poehler, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I love her. I love what she did with this. The fact that, you know, not just for kids and for adults and, like, feelings. And, you know, as an adult, you remember going through it. And as a kid, you're starting to learn what it's like to have your life change.
Well, maybe you'll want to reconsider as I read this one-star review by Walter Chaw of Film Freak Central.
Walter.
Inside Out 2 hasn't resolved any of the issues I had with the first film, which is boiled down to if I'm meant to treat this conceit seriously. Then you should probably treat it seriously, too. I grew up with Judy Blume and can't recall a single instance in her books where a young girl's emotional development was a playground for cheap gags and high concepts. The plot is insane, of course, as Riley, voice of Kensington Tallman, goes into puberty around the time of summer hockey camp and experiences the complexities of self-doubt, self-loathing, and anxiety. All of her thoughts and actions are retrofitted around the decisions made by a cadre of anthropomorphized emotions as they battle for supremacy over a TARDIS-like control center located somewhere in Riley's frontal cortex. So let's consider this premise if it were an animated retrofit of a serial killer. How interesting it might be to conjure the cocktail of stock emotions resulting in the need to murder young women who look like Riley. We wouldn't immediately empathize with the focus of every character's intentions. It wouldn't just be anger, right? We would now have things like desire and resentment. And what does abuse look like in this scenario? Well, Inside Out 2 sees it as a ball of bad memory the consciousness shuttles into a multicolored pit at the bottom of a translucent intestinal chute, but doesn't cause perception to twist and, with it, emotional response. It would have to be lots of ideas working together, including the giant monster big secret that Inside Out 2 teases in Riley's unconscious, unconscious, that turns down the opportunity to escape with a sepulchral not yeti before locking itself back into a massive Jungian repression vault. Holy shit. Would also like to consider the joke that the manifestation of joy, Amy Poehler, makes about the new name of the emotion, ennui. Adelaide Exarch, holy hell, I'm not going to say that right. Well, ennui. But how Joy has trouble pronouncing ennui and just settles on wee-wee as an acceptable substitute. She's not reading the word, she's only repeating it. And Joy believes Joy is being a bully here because the nature of this universe and the writing level of its dialogue would suggest to me that she is capable of pronouncing ennui and more, has done so not infrequently. Just a bullying behavior. I am experiencing despair. Someone get Richard Lewis's estate on the line. I need his voice for something. Holy shit.
What was the name of the person that wrote that?
Walter Chaw.
Walter. Hi, my name is Walter, and I have one request of the world. That it take itself and me as serious as I take it and myself.
Well, and clearly, you can read the whole review at Film Freak Central.
What is wrong with people, Dave? It's a fucking kids movie.
Yeah. He goes into quite a diatribe of how much this movie sucks. You know, even though Rotten Tomato has it at a 90%. You know, what do we know, I guess, but despised by Walter Chaw.
Can you stay on the lookout for any more reviews of anything entertainment or cinematic from one Walter?
I'm sure I can look it up. I'm
the most optimistic person I've ever met.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 2 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
I'm sure he's got a great list of reviews on here. Not like The Watchers. He did not like If.
He's got a problem with Posts and Raisin Bran. Why has it got to be two scoops? Why can't it be three
gave
or four?
He gave Godzilla X Kong The New Empire a 0%.
Okay. So he's just living under a bridge, it sounds like.
It, Yeah, he. I think he likes high concept films, based off of everything I'm seeing.
Well, I would say for this week, he's definitely the oddity.
Aha! Got him! All right, let's go to about some more stories of the week.
I haven't got any more stories. I'm fresh out. Fire away.
I got you. A manure truck crash covers Connecticut homes and yards in liquid feces.
Oh.
Residents of a Connecticut neighborhood are dealing with a stinky situation after a manure truck rolled over, collided with a car, and spilled its odoriferous cargo. Ann Bedard, whose house is located at the intersection of Deerfield Road and Bremen Hollow Road in Pomfret, said she heard the sound of the crash and rushed to investigate. She discovered a manure truck had rolled over and struck her neighbor's car, causing it to spray on her yard, a neighbor's yard, and their homes.
Ugh.
Quote, "It was like literally a waterfall of brown," Bedard told WVIT-TV. "All of a sudden, we see the sewer come out of the truck, and then the petrol was coming out of the top. It was just flooded down our property." Nicholas Provost, co-owner of M. Provost Trucking, was on the scene with a team Wednesday to help clean up the spill. "We're going down 3 or 4 inches to make sure that nothing seeped beyond that," Provost said. "Then we'll come back in tomorrow with fresh material and seed and replace everything that gets dug up today." Pomfret Fire Department Chief Brett Sheldon said that the cause of the Tuesday evening crash is still under investigation. He did say the driver of the truck sustained only minor injuries.
I mean, this is like, you think about moving after something like this, right? Like, put it up for sale. Fuck it. We're out of here.
Like, there's no way that you can't, like, you're going to have that in your, like, in your nose for so long. Like, there's no way that it goes away. And at that same point, you're also just going to feel like, is it in my house? Is it in my yard? Is in my, like, it just feels like it has to, like, to have that, like phantom limb syndrome, where, like, you're just constantly feeling the grossness on you, even though it's been washed away.
I mean, I'm turning to a higher power here. I'm like, God, I know you never said you'd make it rain for 40 days and 40 nights again, but how about 20 straight fucking days to wash this shit out of here?
Yeah, you know, it's a good thing that the trucking company is going to come for 2 days.
Yes, don't worry. That. We'll take care of all this shit in 2 days. They gotta have insurance for something like this, though, right? It seems like he had a plan that he had already executed once before. He seemed pretty confident in what they were doing to fix this problem.
It definitely sounds like he was rather lax, at least in the quote. Maybe he sounds differently, you know, in the actual interview, but just in terms of what he said, there was very little apathy involved. It was just like, we'll be back. We'll don't worry. We'll get some seed and we'll just fix it.
This shit happens.
That's the bumper sticker. I was waiting for it to end with like a, but
our garden is fucking rich and plentiful all the time now.
Look, I know that I am not a perfect human being, but man, you are.
I got time for one more.
Well, guess what? The poop stories don't end.
Uh-oh.
Parisians are threatening to poo in the River Seine in a protest ahead of the Paris 2024 Olympics.
So this is poop story number 2?
Aha! Could leave that by itself, could I? There was There was a plan there. I was hoping you would pick that up. People are angry at the expense of cleaning up the river, having rallied under the hashtag, very French, but it translates to I shit in the Seine on the 23rd of June. Sunday was supposed to be the date Paris mayor Anne Hidalgo would swim in the Seine to prove the water was clean enough for the Olympic athletes. But she did delay the dip until after the French elections in July. President Emmanuel Macron also promised to swim in the Seine before the games, but hasn't given it a date when. A website has been set up with the slogan, "They have plunged us into shit. It's their turn to plunge into our shit." The problem is that all the resources that have been invested have not been to resolve all the social problems we have at the moment, said Actu Perry, an anonymous programmer. More than a lot of money has been spent on trying to make the water safe enough to swim in, with the triathlon and open water swimming events scheduled to take place in the river. A report published on Friday showed the water was still too dirty to swim in just over 5 weeks out of the first triathlon event. Water samples showed high rates of two kinds of fecal bacteria, including E. coli, and did not meet the standards set for the games. Paris Region Prefect Marc Goulamet said. So it sounds like Paris is going to be a shit show.
Instead of the five rings, they're just going to have five rolls of toilet paper.
I mean, there might be a ring. It might be ringworm.
Even without people shitting in the rivers, didn't they have this problem when they were in Brazil for these events as well?
They had this problem in China. They've had this problem in a lot of cities. I don't understand why it has to be in the open water. I guess it's a triathlon, right? You can't exactly take it inside.
There's got to be a place within 100 miles of where you're holding the games that has pristine, fresh, open, that you can just go there. Like, you don't have to be, like, down the street from the Eiffel Tower to have this. You know what I'm saying?
But the image.
I suppose.
I don't know, man. I think this is probably something that should have been addressed long ago. I don't know the exact process that all of these Anne Hidalgo went through, and Emmanuel Macron went through to kind of clean up the River Seine, but chances are it wasn't enough. And again, I don't have to worry about it, I guess. But especially if you're going to ban all the Olympic athletes from banging each other at the Olympic Village, the least you can do is clean up the river.
Yeah, wee. No, poo poo.
I think you mean ennui.
Ennui, poo-poo.
That is our first edition of The Oddity. My name is Dave Wirtz. That is PC Tunney. And if you would, keep the news weird, folks.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 2 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, Our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.